Did I hear you're shopping for a car? Because I've been at it for ages. Ugh, such a time suck, right?
Not really. I bought it on Carvana. Super convenient.
Oh, then comes all the financing, research. Am I right?
Well, you can, but I got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then all the number crunching and terms, right?
Nope. I saw real numbers as I shopped, found my dream car, and got it in a couple of days.
Wait, like you already have it?
Yep.
Oh.
Go to Carvana.com to finance your car the convenient way.
The orcas are back?
I'm going to read this straight from CBS News. A group of orcas managed to sink a yacht off the coast of Morocco last week after its 45-minute attack on the vessel caused irreparable damage. That's a really long time to be attacked by whales.
I think so. I think
you're
right.
45 straight minutes of whale-induced terror. Well done, comrades.
Inshallah, they will sink another.
Oh, where did it happen, by the way? In the Strait of Gibraltar.
That's neutral territory.
We will bridge Gibraltar with yachts.
Look at this chicken shit stuff from CBS. A pod of orcas, colloquially called killer whales. They're called killer whales because they are the fiercest killers of the seas, my man. Colloquially.
Nonsense.
Approached the yacht and hit the steering fin for 45 minutes. Causing major damage and leakage.
The list of notable orcas involved in incidents on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
This is all I want to read to you. Cuddles.
Oh, none of the crew members were harmed, by the way.
Cuddles?
Cuddles, responsible for 2 documented attacks.
Yes. None of the crew was harmed in this, by the way, which means we can celebrate it fully.
Oh, fuck, it's Cuddles again.
Cuddles revenge.
Cuddles 2, son of Cuddles.
The lines, the dry quotes from this are amazing. The orcas also nudged and bit the rudders, one crew member said.
Scuttled by Cuddles. I like that they...
that Cuddles
I like
scuttle.
That the part of the boat that most offends them is the part that most acts like a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
In
like,
bastone.
This is an abomination. Yeah.
Are killer whales Italian? Orca sounds Italian. Are they all Italian?
Isn't the name... doesn't it come from... Didn't, like, Romans give them the name?
And they're very hot-tempered.
Doesn't it mean, like, demon or something in Latin?
Hmm.
Am I making that up?
Hang on. Orca's Latin, but... Oh, yeah.
Are orcas Catholic?
Yeah, it translates as belonging to Orcus. Yeah. This genus name is likely a reference to the hunting prowess of the killer whale.
So these orcas are all in the Iberian Peninsula near the Strait of Gibraltar.
Mm-hmm. Spring break!
And all of them have been given a designation and an individual name that goes with it.
Like a wanted profile?
The designation is Gladys, and they all have...
They're all Gladys?
Yes. So there's
Tiny.
There's Gladys Blanca, White Gladys.
There's tag yourself.
I knew White Gladys.
Gladys Grease. Gladys Delilah. Gladys Clara. Gladys Herbile. Like here's by 2023 the number of Gladyses had increased to 15.
Tag yourself, I'm Gladys Delilah.
This sounds like a ladies' baking club or something.
It's much funnier that a team of pissed off orcas named Gladys are the ones destroying boats.
Yeah, oh fuck, here come the Gladi.
I mean anyone who's watched any kind of show about South Florida knows that a pack of Gladyses are the last people you want to piss off.
Gladiole.
Oh, apparently this has become Orca Gladiator was one of the vernacular names for orcas.
Gladys the Gladiator.
How could you, by the way, you can just see the scene in the movie where a man raises a rifle at a charging orca and another man takes the rifle, pushes it down with the hand and goes, no, es Gladys Blanco.
it's Russell Crowe speaking perfect Italian.
Yeah.
And what he means by that is, your bullets will only anger.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. As he does in The Pope's Exorcist.
It's too late, it's Gladys Blanco.
Okay, I don't know if it's perfect Italian. It's really enthusiastic Italian.
Yeah.
And then he sings. That's what I need.
Yeah. On Tabor!
Now it's a good movie.
There's a whale eating the rudder.
No, seriously, The Pope's Exorcist is really good. And they're going to make like 9 more because it's all Russell Crowe wants to do now.
2, 4, 6 franchise? Orca.
Ooh, yeah. Galicia Drift.
I am still waiting on the series of films where Russell Crowe just gets to play dirtbag Zeus.
What more? Okay, that was amazing.
Yeah.
But what more do you want from him? Have you seen The Pope's Exorcist?
No.
Okay. He rides around in a moped. He speaks Italian and Latin with just... with Anne Margaret-like relish, is what I would say. And he, like, rides around on a moped in flapping robes again.
So all this dude does all day long is he watches...
And he kills, he pulls demons out of kids!
He hangs out on his farm. He watches, he lies about his workouts. If you've ever looked at Russell Graham's Instagram, he's like, yeah, I biked like 45 miles today, and then I did like 200 deadlifts, and then you look at him, you're like, bitch, you didn't do any of that.
The other thing he does on social is just take a picture of geography and say, where am I?
And sometimes
everyone's just guessing.
Sometimes it's kind of baffling, you know, like sunset over a line of houses on a ridge that could be almost anywhere. And
you're
sometimes,
in Topeka, I think.
Yeah, and then sometimes it's like the Golden Gate Bridge, and he's like, where am I? You're like, I need some consistency, Russ.
Now, he also, listen, he also, I don't want to say claims, because I believe this is absolutely true. He also has befriended two different horses that were his horse in the movies. He said for years that the horse that he gave a speech sitting on in Gladiator was in the horse pool again in Robin Hood and recognized him, and he went to visit him every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he also befriended his his white horse, who was named Rusty, in Robin Hood, showed up again in Les Mis, and he was like, they asked him about it, and he said he was, quote, lifelong friends.
Russell Crowe was, of course, the star of Gladiator.
Oh,
does
shit.
That mean that he is summoning and supporting these orcas?
Additionally, you said Russell Crowe has two animals. You know another movie in which Russell Crowe
has two
animals over
God.
And over and over
How
would be
deep does this go?
The greatest film of all, of course.
Do you know, I still haven't seen that. I need to watch it.
It's so fucking good. I'll watch it again.
What movie is this?
Noah.
Ryan
Do
you know? Wait, correct. Spencer. Do you know Darren Aronofsky?
It's an Aronofsky. I know that Aronofsky did a Noah movie.
So picture Aronofsky doing a Bible story. Does he take it as far as he possibly can? Yes.
I have a further theory, which is that Russell Crowe is known for method acting.
No, he's not.
He's known for taking his roles to extremes.
Things. It's fine.
All right.
These words mean things.
I think he is one of the
orcas. I want you to imagine if Russell Crowe was known for method acting and had taken the role in The Pope's Exorcist.
Oh my God.
Like if what Spencer is saying is true, no, like all Russell Crowe like, movies are much funnier now.
I know. It's listen, I'm already mad
have you
enough
seen
today,
a demon? Have you seen
Oklahoma
a demon lately?
It's already made me angry. Don't
maybe
know.
Maybe you have
Russell
Crowe
the literal opposite.
And method even
acting.
If I had, I'm not the Pope. So.
Like, Russell Crowe has famously mocked method acting.
He's one of the killer whales, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. All I know is he didn't brush his teeth in that one movie, and everyone got mad because he smelled so bad. To me, that's method acting.
I think Master and Commander is the one instance of Russell Crowe method acting, which is to say he just loves hanging with his
bros. God, here it is. Here's my favorite quote. Okay, when this is from the Nice Guys press tour at Cannes. Russell Crowe got up in front of, and somebody asked him about, like, his acting teachers growing up, and he's like, nah, I rely on the Russell Crowe method. It's like, he's never been to drama school. I don't even know what the Stanislavski method may be. I have no fucking idea, and I don't care to know. Seriously, it's not actually that complicated. If you want to be an actor, work it out for yourself. And then he quotes this amazing, I love this Laurence Olivier quote, which is, learn your dialogue and don't bump into the furniture.
Correct.
Oh, shit. I just realized something else.
We can't be actors because we all bump into the furniture.
No. You know what the opening title card says in Master and Commander?
Oceans are battlefields.
Oceans are battlefields, and now the orcas have made it so.
I'm telling you, one of them is Russell.
War was declared. We didn't heed the warning.
If you see an orca and it's got...
The gladiuses are swarming all around.
If you see an orca and it's still got the cassock, it's still got the priest outfit on, that's Russell. He just came straight from the set.
Flawless Latin.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what good Latin sounds like. That's a
joke. Shit! It's Cuddles Gladys, the Pope of orcas.
Pope exorcist orca.
Gladys Russell.
Russell in a Crowe, Zeus skirt. Orca Pope.
And he's singing.
This is Vatican Blue.
Yeah.
It's called the Holy See.
Yeah.
Oh my God! We're so fucking back.
All right, start the episode.
Now! Zoom!
to the Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as I am every week, by Jason Kirk, Ryan Nanny, Holly Anderson, and on the ones and twos, the legendary Michael Server. This episode, as
What's
all of our
legend?
Episodes are yeah. brought to you by...
What is the legend?
Which legend? Papa, we want a story.
What's the legend of Michael Server?
The legend of Michael Server is that one day, back in the day, there was a holy chalice high in the Blue Ridge Mountains, okay? A chalice kept within a log cabin, inside another log cabin, inside wow. a fortress, inside another log cabin, inside...
A chalice.
The heart of a young girl.
A Cherokee casino. Anyway, in order to access the treasures...
A Cherokee casino in Colorado...
I said the Blue Ridge.
Okay.
So anyway.
You put the Blue Ridge Mountains in Colorado. Okay.
So anyway, in order to access this, one brave man, in order to bring forth the chosen one, had to overcome all the obstacles, had to win at a number of different automated gaming machine type games, had to go from cabin to cabin, had to take his own Link's journey through the many dangers of Hyrule and the Labyrinth in order to bring that which would bring the chosen one through. And by that, I mean... a beautiful can of Coors Light poured into the chalice over an immaculate copy of Steely Dan's Asia. That brought forth the chosen one. And when it was born, it was given the human name so we could comprehend it. Michael Ray Serper.
This episode is brought to you by Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Hey, speaking of the Cherokee.
Tell it again.
No.
It seems like a legend to me.
Speaking of the Cherokee, have you guys... ever heard of Tom and Randy Boyd?
Don't believe so.
No.
Spencer, not you?
No.
Ryan, not you?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay, it came to my attention during the Saturday Night Live show. Saturday Night Live is the name of our Saturday Night College Football podcast. It's a name of our own invention. It came to my attention that some of y'all don't know about Tom and Randy Boyd. Randy Boyd is the current president of the University of Tennessee and a failed gubernatorial candidate from 2018. His father is a wealthy businessman named Tom. Did you all know that current UT president Randy Boyd and his father wrote a truly deranged children's book that ripped off The Hobbit so blatantly that the Tolkien estate sued them to make them change it?
What was the name of the book?
Lord of the
Bogey's
Things?
Trek, Outcasts to Inner Earth. Hobbits are bobbins in this
okay.
story.
Yeah.
The cover art looks... I'm going to drop this in here so you guys can look. The cover art looks lascivious in like a middle schooler taking his first upskirt photos in an 80s problematic comedy kind of way.
Oh, that look on that person's face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Conan O'Brien?
That's a bobbin. Bokey's Trek follows the adventures of a young man named Bokey to villages of the orcs, gremlins, fairies, leprechauns, dwarves, paws, Yetis, which I assume is just the coolers.
The cooler, yeah.
Tree elves and ground elves. These adventures take place in another dimension, which is the home of the ancient lore characters. You have to read the book to find out how all these characters ended up in the world of man. Now, this is a guy who wrote a book before this called A Father's Son, which should prevent him by law from publishing other books ever, but we live in a free country, sort of. And the Boyds are kind of copyright infringement enthusiasts. Randy famously made his first fortune by waiting for a bunch of pet technology patents, like electric collars and stuff, to expire, and then hopping on his own. And so this is kind of their thing. This is also the guy who, I assume this was in New York when they were talking about a Silicon Valley technology company that was going to genetically track your dog's poop so it could tell whose dog had been shitting on the sidewalk and not picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he didn't invent that company, but he copied it and made another company just like it.
Mm-hmm.
So
This one thing we've skipped over a little bit on this.
Oh no, we're not skipping it. What do you think we're skipping?
The print length?
Right. Okay. So the book is only 80 pages long, right?
which is the least like Tolkien thing about it.
I don't think the wiki page is 80 pages long.
I am so glad you brought that up because this book isn't really a book. It's a promo device. Because did you also know, my gentle brothers, that they then, Tom and Randy Boyd, built a fucking rip-off shire based on this concept 15 minutes from Tennessee's campus during the pandemic. Now, Randy Boyd says the village was inspired by traveling to the four corners of the state during his failed campaign for governor and coming home and wishing everybody would just get along. I'm going to quote here. Boki's trek, Outcasts to the Inner Earth, was Tom's first fictional tale that combined the magic of fantasy with real-life themes of acceptance, understanding, and open-mindedness. You can see here why Tennessee did not elect him as the GOP candidate for governor. So they tried to build this whole thing in South Knoxville, and it was supposed to be this huge 150-acre resort. The community revolted. The Boyds offered then $30 million to move the whole thing to Sevier County, to land owned by the Eastern Band of the Cherokee. The deal fell through, this is my favorite part, after a unanimous vote from the tribal council that was preceded by no discussion.
Wow.
And completion was originally scheduled for April 2020. So I had kind of forgotten about this
Have we said the name of this place yet?
Ancient Lore Village.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's like calling a cemetery dead person ground.
So, oh, there's a gremlin cemetery that you can play games in inside. So, I had not thought about this thing in a couple of years because I know they put up. Also, the where it really rips off Tolkien is visually.
Sure.
Like, go just look up Ancient Lore Village and just look at the buildings. They're all these little round hobbit houses.
I'm looking. I'm reading. This is a sentence on the website. Fun fact: the orc home is ADA compliant for anyone needing a little extra space and wheelchair accommodations.
That's so funny that they complied with the ADA because they got hit during construction with multiple environmental violations for erosion and water pollution and never finished the project. Cool. So there's. It was described. I haven't been up there in a couple of years, like since it was under construction still. So I went to look around on Knoxville Reddit to see if anyone I knew had actually been there. And I saw it described as a hobbit strip mall under giant power lines. And if that ain't East Tennessee.
I'm sold.
If that ain't East Tennessee, I don't know what is. Anyway, that's my Cherokee story.
So you can get second brunch. The Hobbit strip mall.
This is very Tennessee. Second
breakfast buffet.
It is basically a glorified Airbnb with some outdoor activities. This was supposed to have like a lazy river and a convention center. And if they built a lazy river, I might have gone.
I think hobbits are a great fit for basically anywhere in the South. They love to blow shit up. They love to sit around, smoke weed.
Hate shoes.
They're always barefoot. They do as little work as possible, which I completely endorse. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere, they're just like, hey, we're going to go walk up that mountain way over there. Are we going to come back? I don't know.
Gardeners?
They have huge problems with very small.
It takes them like 40 years to read one thing.
Right.
I was born in Georgia. I can say that's fine.
They have huge problems with very small changes to their schedule, right? Like, what do you mean?
We ain't evacuating.
What do you mean we ain't watching SmackDown?
What is the ultimate victory of the Hobbit? To get on a fucking boat.
To get on a giant bird.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
We're going to ride a goddamn boat really far, and I ain't never coming back.
You tell me I got to get on a boat, and I don't ever have to come back
I'm going
to
get on a big old goddamn boat. You ain't ever going to see my ass again.
Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo! Get off that
boat! No, that ain't my goddamn name anymore.
If I told you Bilbo Baggins had...
Tom Jehoshaphat Bombadil, if you don't come in here right now.
If I told you Bilbo Baggins had 2 years starting at Kentucky and threw 14 touchdowns and 38 interceptions in 1985.
He's either a receiver or like 190-pound running back who's 5'5".
Yeah.
Center who averages 2 and 10.
There we go. Yeah.
You know how hard it is to rip off a book that, to oversimplify, invented a genre of literature? Mm-hmm. like quite possibly the most ripped off book of the last century. You ripped it off so much that you got sued. That's hard.
You wrote an 80 page book that caught the attention of the Tolkien estate.
Yeah, that's like a throat clearing.
If I were the Tolkien estate, I wouldn't read anything unless it was 900 pages, right? I'd be like, rookie numbers.
That's serious author.
80 pages, that's a table of contents. And somehow you wrote a summary of your book that ripped off more than the millions of other Tolkien ripoffs managed to rip off. I'm impressed.
No, but
I'm
they going added to this yetis. Place.
Like, what in the Fellowship of the Ring, how far, what has happened by page 80?
Ooh, okay.
Not a goddamn thing.
Right?
I know who can answer this right now.
How many Bilbo birthdays have we passed at that point? One? Gandalf isn't back with the research. Like, the movie skips ahead like 50 years in a blink, but no, Gandalf's off doing his own research.
Man,
at that point.
Somebody is having a good old time with a chainsaw at Jason's.
Yeah, chamber. I got you. Like, it's the Ents. They're not Ents. We call them by a different word.
It's Unts. They're Unts here.
They're totally different. It's totally different.
But this man,
I'll go to chapter 80 in Lord of the Rings and see what's happened.
Okay.
Because
this man is, and he's the president of the University of Tennessee.
He is. Ask us how that's going.
Okay.
So let's see. In page 80, which my copy of Lord of the Rings is 1,210 pages. Bilbo is just now picking up the ring from the ring from Gollum.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So Fellowship hasn't even started yet. Like, Bilbo is like filling Frodo in on backstory. The chapter is called The Shadow of the Past. We're still in the prologue to the prologue.
This is why Tolkien didn't have a phone. He'd have to let somebody else talk on the other end.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Spencer, all his friends are dead. Who's he supposed to talk to?
C.S. Lewis.
All my friends are dead! That's right.
All he's got is C.S. Lewis.
Sad. He's got to be like, yeah, he's got like, I got to talk to somebody who's not as good a writer as me. Yeah.
There is one of the characters in this, I swear to God, is like a little tiny dog with wings.
Oh, you looked at the character page.
Jesus Christ.
Okay,
is that
sorry,
Bilbo?
I forgot something. I forgot something. All of these characters in this book are basically fanfic versions of Randy Boyd and of Tom Boyd and his family, including their dog.
So they did self-insert Tolkien ripoff that's so bad, Tolkien's corpse sued him. Mm-hmm.
I love that, though.
These guys are also, like, ultra-right-winger. It's kind of like in that He Gets Us Jesus mode. Mm. But these guys are ultra-right-wingers who are preaching empathy.
Yeah.
Which should scare you enough.
Yeah, empathy for who?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if we... So, listen, I haven't bought the book because it costs $40, but apparently the...
$40 for 80 pages?
Yeah.
Jason, whatever you're charging.
Jason,
price of the bricks. I'm calculating this math. That's $150 for me.
Like, how many blog posts is that?
Price of a fucking brick.
But, oh, God, I forgot what I was going to say. What was I talking about?
You haven't bought it, even though it's $700,000.
So, apparently their way of saying no, we're not ripping off Tolkien and saying no. In our story, the roundhouses are the point because they go from village to village, and everybody just wants to live in roundhouses and worship the same god. And isn't that great?
Mm. Yeah, good.
God damn, it's not cheap to stay at this place either.
No, it's $300 a night for the cheapest room.
Fuck me.
Oh, kind of looks like the swords and the swords and incense store at the mall blew up inside a Tuesday morning.
I love the idea that, like, no, it's totally different. There's a deity. Like, okay, come on now. Have you not read the Silmarillion? It's got the silver salamander. It's got deities in it. So
I know Silmarillion. You know, it'll be money.
The salamander millionaire, it's got the same, it's all got the
appendices.
Same.
I ain't got my appendices no more.
I sold it to buy this fucking boat so I can sail west and never look at any of you some bitches ever again. Give me my goddamn ring. I won that in 1987, winning state.
I love...
Hang on, I'm going to check chapter 8.
I love theme park and resorts as propaganda. That's why I loved Splendid China.
Wait, I know we've talked about this before. Is Splendid China still open?
No.
No, they're They are long super gone. Closed.
Long gone.
Yeah. In fact, in a great twist to the former site.
They're
of
making me remember the Roman numeral for 80.
The former site of Splendid China is now going to be is now the home of a Margaritaville
resort.
It's
supposed to be, yeah. I don't know if they opened it, but yeah.
22. 33.
Take that. Take that, communism.
43.
53. You couldn't keep that shit open. We had to build a Margaritaville on it.
62.
Yeah, this is my favorite thing, because everybody will say this is obviously what people will get from it, and instead people will show up and be like, hey, you got any more of them cinnamon rolls?
I think what we should do is Tom Bombadil's Margaritaville.
Oh, that's my God. Everyone,
right? Just like completely fucking forget the whole world exists. Just come here and turn up and dance and sing along.
What a merry fellow.
Yeah, we're just gonna be like, lose all concept of the world while dancing by a river.
Yeah.
Tom Bombachill, brought to you by
Fire's
Blue. When Sting turns
blue,
the orcs are near.
You know who could have used a cold mountain?
That's right.
That mountain was hot, wasn't it? Had fire in it.
Little too.
They needed that fire, but you don't, because you're not trying to destroy the ring.
One,
you need a
one
cold
can
mountain.
To rule them
not
all.
Like the movie.
Just the image of me throwing a Coors Light tall boy into
and Gollum
chilling out
right
before it.
but
and
like
Gollum
then what
opens
are you doing?
It's just like and then he melts.
Yeah.
But I like the effect of that is you're telling the mountain like, hey man, just cool off. Just cool off a little bit.
Here, just chill, man.
and Sauron's like, hey y'all, my bad. I was being a real dickhead.
Y'all, didn't you watch the Amazon show? I'm hot now. Let's be friends.
Yeah, I've reverted to my pretty form.
Fucking
it's cool.
Devastatingly hot.
They should have put like a QR code for a free $1 million at the end of that Amazon Tolkien show.
I watched it to the end because that's how you got to get to hot Sauron.
You're the only one who would have
gotten
that $1 million.
You can... I mean, I didn't make it.
But,
and that's,
but
that's,
like, would you, you could spend millions of dollars making this show for Amazon, or you could just write 80 pages and boom, look at that. You are Tolkien.
Same amount of attention.
Hey, let's write The Lord of the Rings in the off season.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, let's start.
That'll be shut down full book number two.
Are we also building a crappy resort around it?
I need a lazy river.
Okay. We're building an awesome resort around it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
What if we just like, okay, not all the wolf lodges, the great wolf lodges will succeed, right?
I was going to suggest that maybe we can get around this by just like mixing so much IP that it's impossible to sue. But then I realized that's Ready Player One.
That's, well, yeah. I was going to say that's Warhammer, but yeah.
Yeah, that is Warhammer. Warhammer as we speak, is currently stealing all of the IP.
Are there Warhammer resorts?
Not yet.
Y'all.
It's called hell.
Yeah, it's called hell, and it rules. More corpse starch?
That's
please.
Called England, I think.
It is England, yeah. you didn't know Warhammer has a chippy? That's
what?
The chippy.
Damn.
Is that a meal or something?
Yeah, it's fish and chips. You go down to the chippy and get, yeah.
That was a good guess, man.
Sorry we ran out of souls, QE2.
Yeah. This is how eventually we make the shirt I want to make, which is the Nebraska Corn Huskers, which is just
that's
you
good.
Know,
it's already red.
Husker
yeah.
covered in blood.
It's yeah, it's the right color and everything.
All I saw was the corn. Anyway, nothing else has happened in college football this week, so thank you for spending 40 minutes with me talking about the abandoned Lord of the Rings ripoff nature park.
Is it abandoned?
No, but it kind of looks abandoned.
Oh, it looks sad.
They didn't finish it.
Yeah, okay.
That means Gollum's there.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can stay there. Like, the rooms are open and they have, like, occasional public events, but it's not a resort. Listen, this is next to Gatlinburg. We know from resorts. This is
so
not a resort.
It's the Mines of Moria.
Ain't no vista, ain't no view.
This would be, is there any sweeter phrase to the ears of a half delinquent teen than abandoned, half completed theme park?
Abandoned like Shire? Oh. Come on now.
Yeah. Like, I apparently, Splendid China. Which is the other thing that's made me think of, has been vandalized and attacked many times.
There's a whole subculture of the people who used to sneak into Typhoon Lagoon after it was closed and the other river parks and, like, photograph them as they fell into eldritch disrepair.
Ooh.
Yeah, you'll fall down a rabbit hole with this. Go look up like rotting Typhoon Lagoon photography. Do it in the dark.
It is we are very lucky the Silver Dome did not overlap with TikTok, because right? That would have become a trend.
Silver doming.
Hey, teens are doming.
The first to ever create slang with that out of that word, yeah.
Well, this is like the abandoned island in the middle of Lake Buena Vista.
Yes, yes.
Didn't somebody swim to that recently?
Yes, yes.
The one that used to be, it used to be Tom Sawyer Island?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know who swam to it? Russell Crowe.
You know how we fix it? Put orcas in the lake.
Russell Crowe will befriend them. Yep. Nice try.
That's your crowd control.
He'll make sure that nobody comes to Russell Crowe Island.
That's a magic hour.
That's a Disney feature. Russell Crowe Island.
Is this about a movie? Or...
is this Australia? Nope, it's just Russell Crowe.
No, why would it be?
Remember this? He's down for this, because remember when he got divorced, he had an auction. And
we've talked about this at least five times.
The Russell Crowe divorce auction.
We're gonna do this. Art of divorce.
Can we get Russell Crowe?
All you need to remember is that Russell Crowe was in Cinderella Man, so this is canon.
Yeah.
Oh no! There we go. I just realized he was in a movie called Cinderella Man. Do the Moms for Liberty know?
It's time to let him know.
Fuck. I have another 40-minute monologue in me today about gender-swapped casting and things, but I know we have to get to the Wall Street Journal article.
We do.
I'm gonna let y'all stallions it up.
Ryan, thank you. I hope that was worth your time.
It was. I will never go to this place, but I will curse its existence.
Ryan, we're breaking in after hours, buddy. It's happening.
Yeah. Fuck yes. Where is it exactly?
It's like 15 minutes south of UT.
Okay, good.
It's between, you've been to my parents' house, it's between my parents' house and Gatlinburg, like halfway up that drive.
Anything near Gatlinburg has got to be spectacular.
No judge will convict you.
Hey, before we get into Connor Stallions versus Sparta Jeff, I wanted to bring to our attention a post from Josh Friedman. You can find this thread. He is at Josh Friedman, spelled Fried Man, on Blue Sky. He starts this in a very sweet way. Hey, Fullcast, not sure if you recall one of the episodes from last February. That's a very fair,
good question,
of you, Josh. This is the guy who submitted the story about a bunch of Army and Special Forces guys going batshit at a wedding in Mexico. The episode, if you would like to pull it up, is called Harson Around. Anyway, one of the guys in that story just lost his life to cancer. And... We had been asked to shout out earnestly on the show an extended member of the full cast, extended universe. But anytime one of those likes winks out, we feel it hard. You can get more details on Josh Friedman's thread on Blue Sky. Thank you, Josh. Ernest, we raise delicious Coke Zeros and Mountain Dews and Gatorade Twitches and Coors Lights to you. We are such a well-hydrated show. But cheers to you, buddy. Rest well.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever whatever. I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
So, there is yet more reporting, and I think it's the most important reporting yet on the Connor Stallions case at Michigan. And it's this, that in addition to his, per the Wall Street Journal, in addition to his sign stealing and signal intelligence work for the University of Michigan program, from reporter Lane Higgins for the Wall Street Journal, on today, as we're recording November 7th, breaking news, Connor Stallions sucks at repairing and managing a vacuum repair business. This is my favorite thing. Because Connor Stallions, while moonlighting as an assistant for the Michigan program before he was brought on full-time in 2022, and while he was serving in the Marines and balancing all of the other things in his life, he was living in Ann Arbor in March 2022 and was operating an unlicensed business. And I will tell you, if there's one thing that the landlords of Ann Arbor will not brook or tolerate, they'll be okay with you stealing signs. They'll be okay with you maybe even making a little noise. But leaving an unsightly front porch, son, that is a step too far in your greatest crime yet. That is exactly what happened here. I will read directly from the article. Property records indicate that he purchased a $485,000 house near
This looks like the stroller park outside, like the Grand Ole Opry Cafe.
Yeah.
This is insane. I just saw the picture of the vacuums.
Yes. That he purchased a $485,000 house near the Michigan campus in March 2022.
First of all, what?
Evidently, the Stallions family got some cash.
What? Not enough to... You know what? You can't buy cents.
Not long after he moved in that spring, dozens of old vacuum cleaners appeared on his front porch. The unsightly stash peeved neighbors and sparked the interest of the Homeowners Association. Dum, dum, dum. Getting HOA involved, y'all, which sued Stallions for allegedly operating an appliance refurbishing business out of his home in violation of its bylaws. But a man has rights. A man has the right to as many vacuums on his home as he likes. This is what he said in response to a summons.
I'm sorry, he's 27 and buying a $500,000 house. What are you doing, man? Why do you want to be a coach?
He wrote, "I suspect that whoever has chosen to sue me, either one, doesn't like the fact that I am a veteran, or two, is a Michigan State fan."
Sorry, this was said while he was defending himself in court.
This was in response to the summons. He wrote, "Is a Michigan State fan and knows that I am a Michigan football coach and wants to draw my attention away. He had one Spartans fan in mind. Someone named Jeff."
Always. Ugh. Always. Classic Jeff. I'm picturing Jeff the Shark.
Yeah.
Everybody yeah, else? Probably was in a little green. Little
that
green
guy, you can't hoodie. Stop him from moving anywhere, right?
That's yes. true.
Who lived down the street
in your yard
and had a son attending Michigan State. Always comes back to little brother, man.
Fucking Jeff.
I bet Michigan State fucking loves this, though. They're like, yeah, get his ass, Jeff.
Get his ass, Jeff. I am Jeff.
Yeah, I am Jeff. I am
stand
Jeff.
Stand with Jeff. We are all Jeff.
We are Jeff.
We are all Jeff.
Jeff is Legion.
We are Sparta Jeff. Stand with Sparta Jeff. Jeff Strong.
There's more on Jeff, though. This is the best. "He uncomfortably questioned me about Michigan football and what goes on in our building. Gives me a bad feeling about him. He definitely seemed like someone who wants to distract me with unnecessary time-consuming things like this."
This is such football brain stuff applied yes. to normal world. It's like coaches are obsessed with distraction, like as an epithet and as the worst thing that can possibly happen, mm-hmm. right? So, like, anything in football coaches, and this guy is, you know, obviously straining the definition of football coach, but anything in the football brain world applied to the real world just views, you know, my arm fell off. What a distraction, right?
Yeah. This is also, people have, so we have heard from folks close to the Michigan program that in person, this was, Connor was a, like many of us, a lot quieter than he is on the message boards, very much a you know, yes sir, no sir, head down type of working guy. But people had, I keep seeing people who maybe aren't super familiar with the sport online saying things like, well, how could nobody notice this guy is talking like this? Because they fucking all talk like this. All of them. All of them.
Yeah. This is also, by the way, not only.
Oh, sorry. Ryan is texting me because he is ill. And has taken off for the rest of the episode, but he would like to point out that the real Connor Stallion's gold mine would be his next door posts, and we need to find those.
Okay, we're on it.
Yeah,
his retorts to next door posts.
The subject line is just first of all, comma.
That and that.
Fuck you, Jeff.
This is also, by the way, the
Jeff.
This is the overlap between football coach speak and character in an Edgar Allan Poe story, where they're like, this man was annoying me.
He's conspiring. He's
provoking me and distracting me from my important mission. So I put him in a wall.
Clearly he was trying to give me a heart attack.
Yes. I was on the verge of psychosis and a complete mental collapse when the British cavalry's horns sounded and rescued me from Spain. Yeah, that's so close to, like, you're so close to Roderick Usher. You're so close to just being, like, the most insane person in the room, if you aren't already. Is there more? I'm so glad you asked. So not only did he have a whole bunch of vacuums on his porch, because I guess in his extremely football-addled brain, the side hustle to all of this would be, how am I going to pay for it? Well, clearly, I'm going to run a vacuum refurbishment business, because that's where the money's at, is vacuum refurbishment. Stallions sold many on Amazon with underwhelming results. Several buyers complained of defective units with missing parts. That earned him a seller rating of 2.8 out of 5 stars.
Defective units with missing parts sounds like TCU's championship.
2.8's above average.
Yeah, that's it. Is that good enough for a Michigan man? I don't think so.
No, I don't believe so.
No.
But keep in mind, this was all hampered by Jeff. Mm. So, like, Jeff probably cost our man 2 whole stars.
Yeah. Man.
Wouldn't be the first time Michigan didn't have enough 5 stars.
Yeah. So this is the most important news of the day. I cannot emphasize enough.
Sorry, I need to highlight my favorite part of this article, which is not anybody else's favorite part, but it's right in the middle of there, just this aside, where in high school he's always wanted to be a football coach, and like a lot of us, and in high school it says he researched how to become a football coach.
Okay.
Let's see here. How to become a football coach.
Research?
Is that the word?
How to become a football coach with no experience. I'm clicking that one.
Ah.
This is like, okay, you say this about coaching, unlike many other industries, and this is maybe the problem. Coaching is one of those very few industries that you can just, like, show up at a certain level and just work at it until you get better or don't.
Okay, so, like, Jed Fish.
All of us could, like, regardless, we could be actuaries. Actually, we shouldn't be actuaries and coaching football, but
yeah.
We could be haberdashers and all quit our jobs and tomorrow be football coaches somewhere. It would be for no money and it would be at, like, middle school. But coaching is one of those things where anybody can do it. You can just go do it. That's why look at the population of it.
So
anyone can do this.
So WikiHow says, 1, get certified in your state by the local interscholastic federation.
That's
number
2. Stuff.
Obtain the required clearances, and number 3, get your teaching license. There you go.
Oh, that sounds that sounds hard. Never mind.
It's a lot of paperwork.
This is or you could do a
or join the motherfucking Marines.
Yeah. Or you could become a leader of men.
Become
Connor
one.
Stallions is, man, it takes a lot to catch our attention as as a Marine on this show.
What are orcas if not the stallions of the sea?
See?
Huh.
See
indeed.
Orcas are Marines. Mm-hmm. They kill indiscriminately.
You know, they evolved from land animals, like, mm-hmm. so they are indeed amphibious, like a Marine.
So this is, like, as a point of comparison, you don't even have to play football. Mike Leach did not play football. Jed Fish did not play football. I believe Jed Fish was like a high school tennis whiz who then went and got a degree in criminology at the University of Florida, where for like 400 days straight, he left a note on Steve Spurrier's car that was basically like, let me make coffee, let me do whatever. And that,
let me make you coffee.
I don't need any coffee.
Let me dry your tears.
Leave me alone, weirdo.
I'm here. No one will find you.
I'll be on the course if you need me. Do something useful for me. Go get me some Titleists. I lost a couple in the water yesterday. Ain't happy about it.
And I mean, listen, it works. Lane, go get us sandwiches. Look where he is now.
Yeah. Jed Fish was also, by the way, he was college roommates with Howie Roseman, the like extremely brilliant general manager of official shutdown fullcast NFL team, the Philadelphia Eagles. So go Birds.
I thought we were a House Divided Bills outfit.
We might be. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. It's a little harder
so
to do that right now.
The Bills are so
fucking weird. I know, that's why.
My God. They're number 2 in scoring differential, and they're 5-4, but should be 3-6. What the fuck is that? They're Texas A&M.
Oh, that makes it less interesting.
They're so fucking weird.
Yeah. That is... So, you don't have to do that. Connor Stallion's idea was that he would take the Mike Krzyzewski way in, which was to translate your experience as an academy kid into coaching, because
leadership.
You know how you
have led a troop, and now you are a leader.
You know how well
I'm translating.
You know how well those translate when you consider such extremely militaristic and rigid leaders as college football legends Barry Switzer and Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll was in the military?
No.
Oh, okay. You scared the hell out of me for a second.
No.
Like, this would explain several
things. Pete Carroll went to the University of Pacific.
That's why I was confused.
It's like Weirdo Corps or something.
University of the Pacific ROTC is just a hacky sack circle.
Yeah, it's like a quickly scrapped 1970s experiment. Like, we're just going to... The beatniks are going to do some weird shit and they'll distract the enemy.
Air Force is how long you can keep this volleyball in the air.
He went to Hijinks Academy.
I was a member of the Freak Berets. That was it.
I don't know why that was less likely than Barry Switzer being in the military, but...
I could see Barry Switzer being kicked out after, like, 8 minutes.
I can't see Barry Switzer being anything but, like, an old military guy, but I can't see him getting there.
You can't crack a beer at an F-16. Yeah.
Can if you want to.
Yeah, maybe you can't. I can.
You know who else is aquatic?
Five admiral's daughters?
That's right.
Jed Fish.
Jed Fish.
Oh, yeah.
Last name Fish.
Arizona football is fun ago.
Thank you for turning him into a snork. Yeah. This is, again, I will read anything about this because it is the silliest the silliest goddamn story and the best.
Listen, the universe is like, okay, we got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every goddamn day.
This is, I don't know any story that we have come back to this many like episodes in a row.
And now Michigan really only has one choice, which is fuck off. That's it. That's the one club they have left in their bag, which is fuck off.
We all agree that we want them to win a title and defend a tainted title forever, right?
I want them to see if they can. I want them to just basically tell everyone, including the Big Ten, to absolutely kiss their ass.
Oh, I already had a wager on them winning a
hold
title, but now I want it even more than I did at that time.
Yeah, to so be like, clear, I when I say defend a tainted title, I mean with your whole chest.
Yeah, I want
sincerely.
Everyone says that banner is a lie, and
it's
Michigan
there, ain't it?
Fans are the ones who have to say, actually, those rules are wrong.
Hi, I'm Bubba Sparks. Welcome back to the mud again. You're just like the rest of us.
So, speaking of just like the rest of us, it is wild that the unipolar haters defense, where you just say, hey, you guys have all these charges and we have all of this money. And
once again, Dr. Pepper commercials. We have higher academic standards.
That's what they're going to end up having to
Fansville
do with the Big Ten.
All of this
because the Big Ten and Tony Petitti, the new commissioner, he's
Tony and Jeff.
Tony Petitti. My name is Jeff.
It'd be great, by the way, if a bunch of shitty vacuum cleaners were what kicked this off, and Jeff was the first source. He's like, God, this guy's such a fucking weirdo. What does
what
he
if
do?
They had a falling out? Like, what if the vacuum business was Jeff's or something like that?
If that was the source of all this, I would absolutely love it. But
vacuum drama embroils university.
University yeah. sucked into vacuum scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jeff just sitting there going, "You can't even suck right."
Yep.
So this is the thing. They're going to end up using the Mike Garrett haters defense. If you remember when USC was in trouble at the end of the Pete Carroll era. And they asked athletic director Mike Garrett, who, remember, in order to be athletic director at USC, you just had to have gone to USC. That's it. It was the sole requirement for the job. Awesome qualifications. You just had to look good in a blazer and know some guys. That's it. And they were like, he seems cool. He should be the athletic director. And Mike Garrett was asked about this. And basically, Mike Garrett was like, well, you know, they just hate us because they ain't us. That's it. They're just mad. Haters stay mad. And that was their actual defense in all of this. And that's what Michigan's going to be left with.
And then
and it
in
might
the
work.
2010s, there was this like cooperate with the cops era.
Yeah.
Like everyone tried to play nice with the NCAA and always regretted it, right?
Just the lie back and think of England years.
Yeah. So like now we were returning to the wisdom of the ancestors who just, nah, I would prefer not to.
Not home. Nah.
Talk to Jeff.
Yes, or as going from an earlier discussion about James Harden that I had, this is the audacity of nope. That's what this is going to have to be. It's like
need some audacity of cope before this is over.
This most likely,
wait,
brother.
What did that dude say on the live chat? Crope?
Cropium. Yeah.
Crope. What are you going
to need some
cropium? Yeah. Cope, seethe, mall.
Yeah.
You'll have to
do
all that.
Why are you telling your enemy to cope? I'm just going to stand over my enemy and be like, die.
Don't cope. Those are, listen, you know what you tell your enemy? Those are your emotions. You can't put them on me. You have to manage those.
Let's hear more of this negative self-talk, enemy.
Yeah. Let's work on your self-talk. It's entirely too positive. And that's where Michigan's going to end up. Love it. I think Michigan is going to end up telling the Big Ten to kiss their ass. That's a place that I didn't think we'd end up on this. But hey, again, the scandal is putting us all into fabulous places. Like say
Michigan to the SEC.
Do we want to read the schedule off the internet?
Schedule game. Time to play the schedule game.
Look at the schedule. Virginia, Louisville. Oh, God.
Folks,
yeah!
It's Tuesday. By the time you hear this, we'll be three games into the schedule.
So
none of them sure. are very interesting.
Max.
Folks, games have already happened. Congratulations to insert three winners here.
Yes.
Tonight, there are three more games. Also, none of them very interesting.
The MAC is, yeah, there's only like three or four teams who you'd want to see play each other, and most of those have already happened.
Yeah. None of the matchups look MAC-ups.
I will peek at Eastern Michigan v. Toledo on Wednesday night.
I love my Rockets, but I don't need to see them beat up on Eastern.
I will sim ahead to Wyoming UNLV
on
Friday.
Am I kidding? I'm going to watch it because it's my beloved Rockets.
Heat. If we had said preseason, Wyoming UNLV, absolute heat on a Friday night. You've scoffed at us. You've said you madman.
Ooh, Craig Bohl and Barry Odom kind of have like a.
That's a head butt contest.
It's a shiny head off. Wait, Craig Bohl isn't there anymore, is he?
No, he's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a shiny headed tussle.
No,
that's Craig, a lot of skull.
Yeah,
it is.
The Skull Knocker Classic.
So UNLV, this is their best team in a while and whatever, and I haven't seen any of it. So let's get a look at them.
Really interesting offense, if you have not gotten the chance to watch them. At the risk of saying something sincere, they have a really interesting
I really like what he's done there.
Yeah. Barry, also remember that even with the comeback win against the get right win against Florida, Arkansas without Barry Odom, not the same team.
Bama has to play Kentucky.
Yes, they do.
I'm not saying that Bama is going to lose to Kentucky, but it's going to be annoying, and I like that for them.
This is where we all collectively like fully, I think, as a nation, get on board with. Jalen Milroe, really good.
Yeah.
It's finally, finally, the nominative determinism kicks in. You got a kid named Milroe who is not going to succeed at Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, if that name does not appear anywhere in the text of Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Also, this is how Nick Saban learned to stop worrying and love a running quarterback. In earnest. In earnest. We've had quarterbacks who could scoot before. I think that's it. I think Nick Saban's, like,
watching
previous
him
tolerance.
And Joe Milton figure that out in the same week was harrowing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun now to watch them separately.
They've gone from scooting quarterbacks to, like, Tua was nimble, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was fluid in the pocket.
We're about to get to sneakily athletic, which is going to be a real
That was Jacob Coker, I think.
Jacob Coker. Blake Sims, who I think you could say was a scrambler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scrambling ability. But this is the first quarterback at Alabama I can remember in a very, very long term who you go, we've gone into the lewd outright running.
We're past the McCarron zone.
Yes, we're no longer at chased can scoot, right? Nope, pants off.
What?
This is just full naked.
What are you going to do? You can't catch him and make him put his pants on.
Full naked boot, yeah. Guy can run. Mm-mm. This is a quarterback who is truly dual threat. And if you did not listen to the NFL podcast Split Zone Duo, there is a moment in that game against LSU where Jalen Milroe puts his foot in the ground, and it's kind of this like frame shifting moment for that offense because you go, oh, we're doing this now. He has the ability to just take off and get 30 yards upfield.
They have a cave troll.
Yeah. For real. So yeah, you get to watch this. It'll be against Kentucky, and frankly, Kentucky fans, if you don't like the outcome of this game, again, write some checks to the NIL fund at Kentucky. Mark Stoops is going to be having a lovely Mark Stoops bourbon and awaiting your donation, because otherwise, don't complain about it. That's
simply
straight from Mark's mouth himself.
The other
simply
thing I like
reallocate
about this game,
basketball funds.
And it's happening in Lexington. It's supposed to be 45 degrees. And it'll be dark by the second quarter because it's November. This is also happening at the same time as Michigan Penn State, which will give you something to watch.
Yeah, that's slightly more of interest, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a gambler. I assume that we have all absorbed the impact of what happened to November Maryland last week.
Yes.
They're favored by 2.5 over Nebraska at Nebraska this week.
Matt Rhule, make me some money, baby. That's it. Cut a fire promo. Take advantage of this. Is, by the way,
I finally watched the video.
Yeah, it's a good speech.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a very good speech.
I like Matt Rhule.
I'm pretty sure
Matt Rhule's the first coach ever to block me on Twitter, and I totally deserved it.
Matt Rhule, in this case, turned Nebraska. What did you say to him?
Wait, what did I say to who?
Matt Rhule.
I didn't say anything. I just photoshopped him into an owl mask when he got hired at Temple, and I kept tweeting it out. It was a really scary mask.
So he's finally just like, enough of that shit.
We put it on every photo of every story we did about Temple.
Yeah.
And it was just him in this giant, like, ornate owl mask, and he got very understandably sick of that shit, I guess.
Looks like Nebraska's quite injured.
So maybe not the Jackal game I thought it would be. This could be a race to the bottom.
Well, it's a Big Ten game, so.
Yeah. Michigan, Penn State, Big Game James! Big Game James!
As an underdog, to be fair.
As an underdog, so we'll bust out the real thrilling stuff.
Oh, there's two Jameses. Who will be the bigger Game James?
This is it.
Mr. Game James.
Who will be Jim and who will be James?
Who will be Jim Franklin? Jim Franklin. Hi, I'm Jim Franklin here at Jim Franklin Automotive.
The hierarchy is whoever is the most disappointing is the Jimbo.
Yeah, yeah. Jim. So we've got Jim is the top, and then James is the middle because that's a little informal and creates a sense of personal remove, and then
is
Jimbo.
Is Jimmy at the top via Jimmy Butler?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody's taking that spot from him.
I like that in order to tether and anchor the value, we're like, Jimmy Butler. That's it. Top.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler is the sun, and we are orientating planets around him.
There's no power creep past Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, no. Jimbo's...
I'm sorry, find me a single Jim in this league who could pull off side sweat bangs.
They have to use that every time they show his photo
it's
on
wonderful.
TV.
It's wonderful.
It's working. Like, that was the thing. The preseason was like, are they really going to do this? Are they really going to do this? And they're like, oh, fuck it. We have to do this.
Yeah, that's what he showed up as. God damn.
This man understands my values. Like, if I just picture every time I see this, I'm thinking about Jimmy Butler as a presidential candidate and taking a survey. And I'm like, true or false? Jimmy Butler represents my values. True.
Does he strongly agree? Five. Yeah, like,
that's just
Butler
the question.
Represents the kind of leadership I want in Washington. Five.
Jimmy Butler strongly agree.
Jimmy Butler, among his many thousands of interesting little anecdotes illustrating his quality, Jimmy Butler got rich and decided that the business he wanted to invest in was a futuristic coffee truck. And I have seen this coffee truck.
It's supposed to be like, okay, he made bank during the bubble. You know this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be good.
It is really good. They had it at the Miami race.
Okay.
No, they had it at the Miami race, and it's like,
you sampled Jimmy Butler coffee and didn't tell us?
And it had, yes, and the actual van itself has these like Star Trek doors on the back, mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I gotta go on break, and the door goes whoosh. Which is perfect. That he was like, I got rich, so what am I going to do? I'm going to enter the future highly caffeinated.
Just sell coffee to my friends.
Yes.
That sounds fun.
It's perfect.
That's like a way to do business without most exploiting your friends like most startup businesses.
I will count on Penn State in a big game under James Franklin when hell freezes over. Michigan wins. That's my year.
You know who you can count on is JMU to hit 10-0 and putting up a big fuss against the NCAA that won't go anywhere.
What should they? Okay,
because they're facing UConn.
What should they do at this point?
They should go 12-0, and yeah, hang a banner, hang a fucking banner. I don't care.
I agree. I think that they should. I think that they should print the banner, but should they try and stage some sort of exhibition game
against Michigan? Yes,
they could go to Hawaii. They could do a road game at Hawaii if they.
Yeah,
they could do that, and then they could call it a bowl.
Can we sponsor this game?
Offer to play the
JMU, we will sponsor your postseason exhibition.
JMU, we will pay for you to play the winner of the Grey Cup.
With Coors Light's money. Right, Coors Light?
That's right. That's right, Holly. There you go. Thank you, Mr. Coors Light.
Thanks,
I'll
beer
cover
bath.
Creed at halftime.
Yeah. That's it. But go ahead, print the banners. These are our instructions to everybody who finishes the season undefeated and doesn't get their due. Remember, just do whatever you want. It's your holiday. Celebrate. All trophies are made up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as has been reiterated, go look at all of Bama's title claims.
Mm-hmm.
Yours are just as valid as a couple of those.
Oh, y'all, Colorado's finally fallen to the Pac-12 network.
Damn.
It took 10 weeks. And
they said they were coming.
They're playing an 11 a.m. kickoff. And they're playing Arizona, which...
This was probably circled before the season as, like, that's our likeliest conference win.
Mm-hmm.
They're an 11-point home, dog.
Arizona has proved to be... the Arizona schools have not... You know, they're not putting up world-beating records. They have given us so many entertaining scenarios through the first two-thirds of the season, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a real appreciation for your whole state there, Arizona. Thank you.
There is a battle for bowl eligibility that I want to highlight at noon that is between two teams that are both 5-4, and that if I had told you prior to the season...
Oh, do we have to talk about this?
Yeah. No. I want to...
This isn't split zone duo. We don't have to talk about the group of five here.
I want to call this shot... Georgia Tech is 4-2 in conference. Clemson
Sorry for
is
calling
two and
you a group of five, Georgia.
Is 2-4 in conference.
Tech.
Georgia, I think Georgia Tech's going to beat Clemson's ass.
It's an even week.
Georgia Tech has won every game they've played on an even week or even number
they,
games.
They might have broken that trend.
We got to test that theory.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Whenever it was an even number, they've won.
The minute I saw 2023 Dabo say, hey, listen, Clemson's a stock. You better buy all you can. I was like, next they're going to lose the next week.
You know,
Dabo, we're going to take financial advice from the guy who said he would quit when players got paid.
Hey, a theory that I've seen from AndrewHammondofAL.com is Tyler from Spartanburg was a work.
Ooh.
An inside job.
You should have known it. No Clemson fan is actually brave enough to call in and say a Bible
verse. That's a wrestling
Dabo.
Term, brother.
It's a wrestling term, and it's it would be an extremely evangelical move to have someone out in the crowd. Hey, why don't you be the atheist who I can easily shoot down?
Would they dare make it a troop?
That's the head fake, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to call into Clemson's show as Marine Todd.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Jonesy.
Hi, Kevin Sorbo from God's Not Dead here.
Love your work, Kevin.
Oh, Coach, I'm going to fuck this tiger.
The CW is on at 2 o'clock. NC State God. Making their fourth appearance on the CW.
Where does college football live? In your heart and on the CW. They're the same NC thing. State.
Wake Forest. Wake fighting for its for a postseason bid. They're currently 4-5. NC State fighting to go 4-0 in the CW. I don't know if that's true, but I'm sure.
Oh probably. Man,
fighting to go 7-0.
Wait, okay. Wake has three chances in the next two chances in the next three games to get to 6. One of those games is Syracuse, but the other is Notre Dame.
Okay, so they likely need this one, but.
NC State is one of the best fuck you take this anyway teams this year. Like, they are very much the, like, God, you guys really don't do that much, and you're kind of hard to watch, and you're very tough. And they're like, that's right.
A lot like the CW.
Falling under the spell of Dave Doran's music?
Yeah.
This is about the most interesting NC State team in quite a while. Mm. Other than the various ones with, like, wow, it's like a Pro Bowl team that's 7-5, but... Maybe it's because they're on the CW and therefore I've seen a lot of them, so I'm like, I'm invested in them now.
I can't stop watching.
Are they collegiate Bills?
No.
No, because they make sense.
Yeah.
Like, their record is what it should be. Mm. I think so. If I'm looking for collegiate Bills, I'm going to sort by three lost teams. LSU.
Baylor.
Tune into the CW to see what analyst Dave Doran will tell to kiss his ass next.
And then Riverdale.
And then Riverdale. Followed up by a rerun of Supernatural.
Listen, we still have to get my dad on here to talk about Supernatural.
He's a big fan.
He's seen every episode.
Yeah,
I've never seen any of them. He just describes them to me. And that's when I figured out he likes it, because it's like Law and Order and there just happen to be vampires in it. And that doesn't bother him because it's procedural.
In the hottest game of 1993, Miami at Florida State at 3:30.
Fuck. It's food poisoning weather.
It's at Doak Campbell.
There. However, at the same time on Fox, thank you, counter programming Utah at Washington.
That's a lot better.
That is a lot better.
On paper, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
Nothing else is happening at 3:30 that I know of.
Huh. Oh, look, Tennessee, Mizzou.
Shut up!
In the SEC East? A battle, a pivotal battle?
Oklahoma State is in the SEC West. That is a common mistake.
Mm. So the most important 3:30 game. Folks, over the past year, there have been two games with a point total over under 30.5, which at the time was a record. Both of those were Iowa Hawkeyes games. That record was then eclipsed last week when Northwestern Iowa started at 29.5.
Oh!
The bar has been lowered yet again. To Rutgers. Rutgers, Iowa is, as of Tuesday, still 28.5. Last week, it didn't hold. It peaked above 30 due to cowardice, due to a lot of bad investments by people who didn't believe in Iowa, who should have bet the under and dragged that number down even lower. Those folks are kicking themselves, and they are investing more wisely this week because the number is holding at 28.5.
Serber played down featuring Lil Wayne.
My boss told me we had to get under to 28.5. We got to get that lower or they're going to kill me. Allied ties. Iowa.
The 500 club.
Who is that character?
He's from a lot of places.
Is that Louisiana, Iowa?
That is it. It's the guy from Allied Tires, you know. Okay. My boss told me if we didn't get it lower, he's going to kill me.
Let's see. This is still with Nebraska to go. Nebraska currently there.
Nebraska to go should be its own stat.
Nebraska's offense is currently less Sounds productive delicious. Than Rutgers's. And Rutgers and their defense is basically the same as Rutgers's. So the Black Friday total, we can go lower. We can go under 4 touchdowns.
28.5. I say we make history and bet this under. Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's have a nice nap.
Last week wasn't even close. It would have had to go to overtime for a while to go over.
I have an interesting game on ESPN Plus at 3:30. I think it's a successor to the Butt Bowl. It's a shame that we only have one of those a year. So I've been looking around for fun initial games that we can play with the Chirons. Fairly new-ish conference mashup, Florida International at Middle Tennessee. Fumed.
Rolls off the tongue.
Fumed. Over-under here is 52.5. You are welcome.
It's godless football.
It's a larger number, at least.
Yeah. Now everything just looks unholy to me. I need that over-under.
Yeah, it's so big.
It's full of holes.
It's under 30. Anything else is frivolous.
It's too many.
Yeah. You better.
Wow.
Like the guy who made the mashup of Iowa Northwestern being played in a sepia toned filter to the tune of tack piano music. I need you to roll the tack piano up to the sidelines. Like that would be what I would do for Iowa Rutgers. I would see if I could get a tack piano in the stadium.
They have to have a tack piano. If anybody has a tack piano that we can have, please let us know.
Drinking bathtub gin out of my shoe. Watching Iowa Northwestern.
Rolling bandages for the boys.
Yeah. Your FCS game of the week is South Dakota State, Youngstown State at noon.
Yes, it is.
Is that the rare Jackrabbit Penguin duel?
Yes. Can anyone stop the Jackrabbits? If the Penguins can't, no one can.
Who has the more powerful feet?
Who is cuter?
That
is a fight.
Who has the more petable haunches?
I have disappointment circled on the schedule for you already. At 7 p.m. Eastern, Ole Miss travels to Athens, Georgia to face the Georgia Bulldogs.
You're going
to
say scheduled disappointment and skip both Pitt, Syracuse, and Auburn, Arkansas?
I expect nothing from any of those games, and I await the universe giving me whatever it wants to give me out of those two games.
All right, let's go. Yeah.
Additionally, annually, the dumbest game in the Pac-12, Wazoo Cal.
Yeah, that one's like pure derangement.
So what game is Bedlam now?
Ooh.
I have a candidate, but
what is your candidate?
So I asked this on Twitter, and LSU Auburn was the most frequent response.
That was my first choice. Yeah, except do we want a genuine Bedlam game, or do we want one that's in the anything can happen but not really category?
Oh, a sarcastic Bedlam. I think let's go legit this time.
Okay. Yeah, Auburn LSU would definitely be my first pick.
Like the anything, you know, for a long time the Bedlam name was like, you know, ultimately a mockery of Oklahoma State because they rarely
or
ever
Ole
won
Miss
it.
Bama.
But now it's a mockery of Oklahoma because they lost the last one, therefore they lost all of them. Mm-hmm. So I think saying Oklahoma State won old Bedlam, LSU Auburn is new Bedlam. Mm-hmm. How's that work?
And if we've learned anything from our betters in the Big 12, it's that whoever got you last, which we learned from Texas and Texas A&M.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that way forever.
Ole Miss, Georgia. A lot of folks will get their hopes up.
Yeah. I know, if you're like me and you're super cynical and you go, yeah, Ole Miss has no chance of winning this game and there's no way Lane's going to be able to pull this off. At the 11th hour, just before the game, something good will happen and you'll go, I don't know. Maybe this is when they do it. Resist.
There are so many Mississippi fans coming to this game. I love some of them. Some of them are staying in my home. I will be ready with hot compresses and cold drinks. Or reverse that.
Yeah. Georgia will win this game.
Let's see. Jeff and the boys are heading to Columbus where they're 31-point underdogs.
Yeah, but you know what they don't leave on their porches in Columbus? Bunch of fucking vacuum cleaners.
Because they don't own any.
Yeah, because they... Em. Yeah.
Got them. Look, see, Michigan fans, I'm still among you. I said that just now. Spencer, how do you feel about playing at LSU?
We're going to lose.
Wouldn't it be funny if you didn't though?
I mean, they're LSU.
They're 6-3. This is a particularly team ranked 14th.
No man,
this isn't a great LSU.
I'm ready. I'm preparing myself spiritually to lose to Doug Nussmeier.
You're going
to
score some points.
When you put it like that, it is depressing.
You're going to score some points.
All right, you know what? I have seen this team confound any expectations, even positive. You say, "Oh, we're going to score some points." Are we?
Yeah, are we? You're playing LSU.
Yeah, you know. No, I'm telling you. Mark this down. We won't.
You're not going to score any points.
Boys. No, we'll score.
Do you still have that bullshit scoring streak?
We do. We have the bullshit scoring streak.
So it's ending. It's ending to this week.
All, yeah, that would be if it does end, it will end this week. We'll get blanked by a Matt House defense.
It ends on the backs of Graham Mertz and Brian Kelly. How are you going to feel?
You know, I'll feel nothing. It's all dead inside at this point. It's just.
Coach, does it hurt when we poke there?
Yeah. Nope.
Coach, does this look infected?
Just a charred pit where my football heart once was.
No, Pitt's playing Syracuse.
Yeah. I have a.
Speaking of charred pits, oh.
I have a one.
Before you look, Texas A&M is going to get bowl eligible.
They are.
Only because they have Abilene Christian in week 11. Now you're SEC boys. Welcome to SoCon Challenge Week. They have to play Mississippi State first, though.
Mississippi State. Still, I think my MVPs for the year for the wildest drive of the football calendar, which was, yes, their 20-play, 12-minute field goal drive for 3 points against Kentucky. Their only points of the game. So shouts out to y'all. You've already hit the mountain. You've already hit the peak. Anything you do in this game is gravy. And it's favored by 19.
I just saw the USC Oregon total. 73.5.
Oh my god.
And that's fair.
That is fair. And I saw some people who were already sort of counter talking USC here saying things like, "Hey, listen, I know they had a bad game, but," and I'm like, "Do you think the but is going to matter when you're going up against the killing machine that is this Oregon Ducks team?"
This is Los Angeles, baby. The but always matters.
So the biggest over under game, we looked this up a while back, I remember. Okay, never mind. It was in the 80s.
Oh, boys, we skipped a corker. 8 o'clock, ACC Network, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Duke.
You've invited Mike Elko to town. Guess who's coming to dinner, bitches?
That's with his backup quarterback and everything. They're still going to win.
Whose name is like Gilderoy Lockhart or something.
His name is like Grayson Mantis or something.
Grayson. Okay, I'm not looking it up. It's Grayson Mantis.
Grayson Mantis.
Welcome to Mantis Manor.
Yeah, that is not. It's Grayson Loftus.
Iowa State BYU.
Why'd you look it up?
The most Independence Bowl game I can imagine. They're in the same conference.
Yeah, why don't they just go to Shreveport and wait?
That's
Air Force Hawaii. Meanest. Well, at least we know how they got there, huh?
On the back of a whale.
Navy Hawaii. We'll be there in a minute.
Okay, it'll take a while. That's the week 13 or whatever.
Navy, we'll call you if we need a ride.
Seriously, the most punishing stat about Oregon I know is that if you've watched them play, they're very much a line dominant, powerful football team. Mm-hmm. They lead the nation in for total first downs, which just means, did you hate what happened to you on that play? Cool. It's probably going to happen again.
I love that for the last decade or so, the best Oregon teams are tough as fuck. And they have this like the everyone falls for like the cutesy brand, right? And not so much these days. People, I think most people have gotten the message, but they're still like, what a flashy team. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know, man. Yeah, Bo Nix can throw, but they play football-ass football.
Yeah, this is some serious football-ass football, which is maybe why the line is Oregon by 16.5. I think you're going to see, oh, God, again, sentences keep coming out of my mouth that a year or two ago I would have slapped myself for saying. I think you're going to see Bo Nix really dominate the game here, and Caleb Williams is going to continue to struggle.
Normal. Typical. Typical USC things. Could go 7-6.
Yeah.
UCLA is after this. It's not a guaranteed win by any stretch.
Yeah, because, you know, if you fire your defensive coordinator, you're still starting a 6'6 dude at weak side linebacker.
Also, as Manny Navarro wrote today, there's this thing where one of the challenges of being an air raid defensive coordinator is, you know, you're back on the field very quickly. You're on the field all the time. And Lincoln Riley a few years ago did a great job of running the ball, balancing that shit, right? And like that is the actual balance thing when we talk about run pass balance, is like keep the clock moving a bit, give your defense a break. Manny Navarro showed that Lincoln Riley's teams have run the ball less and less and less and less by the year. As like the Grinks' defensive rankings fell, so too did USC/Oklahoma's rushing totals. So like Lincoln Riley's calling like 10 fewer runs per game than he was just a few years ago when the Grinch was good. It's crazy how like possibly correlated those things are.
Running the ball fixes everything. It does. It fixes everything. Fixes your defense. Fixes your offense. Probably like you're probably like, man, my home life's so much better, and I'm sleeping better, and why? Running the ball 40 times a game.
Sued by Tolkien.
My porch is free of the vacuum cleaners that once cluttered it.
Weeks.
Yeah. Just run the ball, man. Apply to forehead.
Apply forehead to ball.
Apply forehead to ball. Thrive.